Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You have tuned into Radiance by Design. It's been 2 weeks since we talked to the Radiance by Design community, and you know what? I missed you. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and I love to talk to you on the air on Thursday nights on BBS Radio. What are we going to talk about tonight? What does it take to make it through these times of change? It's called being a spiritual warrior or a spiritual warrioress. Fighting is a whole different thing when you're in the metaphysical bag, isn't it? Fighting is so often centering. Excuse me. I haven't been smoking cigarettes, honest. Anyway, fighting is actually, what would we say? It's like pulling your drive away from negative interaction and moving into the higher fields of being in the now, of being in the center, not being reactive, except to consciously radiate out a sense of respect, a sense of love, and a sense of evolution. Basically change the energy to change the reality. Isn't it interesting? So I like the term warrior or warrioress. Do you remember the movie The Spiritual Warrior, Dan Millman's book, which was, of course, the source of the movie? And it's so wonderful about how you learn how this fellow reconstructs his entire physical ability and his mental, emotional, and spiritual ability by centering, by being still, by being disciplined. Now, maybe I'm a warrior by doing radio, so that's kind of being still in myself and my usual character behavior and just being radiating over the radio. Maybe I can get up on those kinds of trapezes and so on that the fellow in Dan Millman's book did. So what I'm saying is to take charge of your energy fields, take charge of your ability to create your reality, take charge of your mind and take charge of your heart, and then you're the warrior of this new time. And these are new times. These are times where we're escalating in frequency, not only on the planet, but out into the universe. We're escalating. The frequencies are moving up and moving up, and oh my goodness, I always think that 2012, in all that I've heard, is about being able to move your frequencies fast enough to create your reality really fast. And that's why the calendar doesn't work, because if you're creating your reality as fast as you can, and you're creating your reality as purely as you can, how would your time frame and my time frame mesh in the calendar? Now, that might be a bit extreme, but I think ultimately that could be a truth that we'll deal with. Otherwise, as somebody else said, it's just every so many thousand years the calendar has to be started again. So, I don't know. That's pretty pragmatic, isn't it? So, this is Veronica Entwistle, and I love to start our sessions on Thursday night here on BBS with a sacred geometric meditation. We create with sacred geometry. We create a workshop, a workspace, a self-protective environment, and a place in which we do our personal manifestation, manifestations of our project or projects, you could do as many as you like, and a wonderful healing room where we help a lot of people that we know. Now, I usually stick to three people plus a political situation, but what do you do? Maybe we could bring in more people. Maybe we can heal larger segments of our world. Who cares? It doesn't matter what we do exactly, but just to realize that we have the power to redesign the energy fields around us in order to change the energy consciously, to change our reality. So let's get to work. We got lots of work to do on the Radiance by Design community, because as we all do this simultaneously, we all do it together, all the fields that are connecting to BBS Radio around this subject at this time, or even later, we learned from Lynn McTaggart and the intention experiment that if you do it later and you feed back to us, we're going to pick that up as well. So let's be a community together and create a reality that we all rejoice in. Are you ready? Take a couple of deep breaths. I love radio because it means that we get to talk to each other. I like to talk. And now let's call in above our heads, perhaps 2 to 4 miles, a golden ball. And now below our spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And let's connect from the upper golden ball through the spine and into the lower golden ball, a filament of light, an absolutely radiant filament of light. You can really feel it as it goes through your vertebrae. And now around your waist, maybe 20 feet out, you're going to see this as we drop a four-sided pyramid, a golden pyramid from the upper golden ball to your waist height, about 20 feet out, as I said. And then upside down, point-to-point meeting, another golden pyramid, and its outside point meets the lower golden ball. So now there's an eight-sided, known as an octahedron structure, and it's around you. You're in the middle. Remember, you've got this amazing filament of light running through your spine, and now around you and touching the inside edges of your octahedron is a crystal ball. And that crystal ball, oh my gosh, how many colors are in it. I feel it. It's amazing. And now inside of that, you're in a star tetrahedron, which is kind of like a Star of David, and it's three-dimensional. And now you're in that. It's also the Merkaba, for those of you who know. It's not exactly the same as the Merkaba from my perception, but it's the idea that the Merkaba is a light body that you change dimensions with, so you're in that. So in you go, and spin, and spin, and spin. Oh, my goodness. Spin and spin, and as you do, you can feel it. Your energy is flinging widely. And now look in front of you and see there a major screen, a beautiful magic screen, and we're going to put movies of what it is we want to create on that screen. And the first movie is going to be you with yourself. There you are on the screen creating yourself the way you want. Now, I always tell you the same thing. I'm creating myself in a multidimensional light. And I'm seeing me coming from the heart, releasing fear. Good. Coming from the heart and being ecstatically multidimensional. And I can see myself doing that. What is it you'd like to do for yourself? It can be the same or it can be something different. When you call in a little bit later, we'll know exactly what it is you're trying to do here. And now when you really feel it, you have to feel it in your body and mind. When you feel this vibrance of you creating what it is you want for yourself, then wrap it in light. And then we move to the next little movie, and it's a movie about something you want to create, a project, a way of being, a movie, a book, a family, a house. It doesn't matter what it is. It's something you really love to create, an invention, and create it in your mind's eye and see all the resources meeting you. Just, oh, they're just coming in right, left, and center, and they're really shoring up your project and giving it the physical dimensions it needs. And you're loving it. You're having a great time. Yeah. And see this project come to fruition. See yourself really happy in it and feel yourself really happy in it. Maybe you're scratching your head periodically because most of our projects are kind of an ongoing evolution, aren't they? And as you do that, oh my, it feels so successful. Just see the resources coming from all over the place to continue its life. Every project has a life of its own, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So just see yourself and see the resources coming. And you're satisfied that your project looks very vital and you feel vital in it. Wrap it in light so it gets to stew away there in its success. And now let's move to our next movie, which is We Enter the Galactic Healing Center. And in that Galactic Healing Center, we call in our team, which is a team of healers, and have them circle around our healing table, or it can be a chair, or whatever. And now the first person that lays on the table is you. So lie down on the table and ask that healing team what it is that you need help with, or perhaps you can tell them. I like to ask them because I learn more from them. Who is your team anyway? Take a look at their faces or their experience. Some people say, I just sense who they are, and I don't really see their faces. That's okay, too, but take some personal information from each one. Okay, now, what is it they're doing with you right now to help you heal? Mm-hmm. And how will they do that to help you? And my body is buzzing like mad. What's happening with yours? Then you ask them, what is it that you'd like me to know that would help me help myself or help me to heal into all that I can be or help me heal into at least some more of my potential? Well, pay attention, you'll hear something. Aha. And you might want to jot it down. I'm going to do that. Jot down what it is they tell you. All right, and then wrap that in light and thank them. Wrap that in light. And remember, our team, our healing team, can replicate itself. So wrap it in light and move on to the next scenario where you have a fresh healing table and a fresh team. A not tired team, because they like to replicate themselves and be brand new. And who comes in? Who would you like to put on this table? Okay. And now sometimes the people that come in for healing are obvious, aren't they? I mean, that, you know, if they got a broken leg, you know that's what we're going to work on. So I have a person coming in, and she's got a physical problem, but she also has a brain. They want to work on both her brain and her physical problem. Because the brain is a central housing for a lot of that stuff, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Well, what is your healing team doing with whoever your subject is? That's right. That's it. And then sometimes they just run energy fields all along the person's body. Smoothing out unruffled and dense pockets of energy that represent pain or sickness. And in this case, they're doing that with the body, but they're also moving their hands around this person's head where she has programmed in her huge kind of dollops of stress. And we're smoothing those out. And then calling in some really powerful lights. Mine are calling in some very powerful lights that they're injecting and running through my client's body, mind, and brain. And I'm asking if they will carry on with their healing service as we wrap her in light. Too bad the healing team can't talk. They could probably teach us a lot, eh? They're laughing at me. And then we're wrapping that in light and letting that scenario drift over to the side, surrounded with light so that it can stew itself and continue the healing. And now we have a new one, a new healing table or chair, and the replicated team. Good work. Oh. And again, I often get a couple. I get more than one table in this one. I don't always have to. I let it come the way it does. So we just let two tables arise. And in this case, it's somebody interacting with someone else in the difficulty. And you know what's really interesting is they're showing how they're, it's like an illuminated lesson. They're showing me how when this couple interacts, they're coming from deep pains within their own lives and how cellular that is between them. So this deep pain in their own lives is coming, shooting at one another and creating a very deep defensive reaction. And what they're doing is helping them ameliorate these reactions so that what they hear from each other is more current, more in the now, more present. And they're also pulling really deep kind of strings of painful energy out of both of their bodies. Yeah. Kind of making me dizzy. It's interesting. So what's happening with your patients? And now, and we ask that healing team if they have any advice for these people. They just love each other. And now wrap that in light. And let's look at a political situation. There's a lot of storms going on politically right now, a lot of doubt and a lot of questions. So let's radiate into one healing, one political scene of your choice. And again, I'm going to pick Mr. Obama. And what I'd like to do is have him surrounded by the healing team and actually be absolutely irradiated with the higher consciousness energy that he feels lifted, supported, and expanded so that his incredible perspective of reality can be lifted and he could see through the underbrush of how I consider the machine anyway. Let's just see that light permeating his consciousness. Yeah. And have that team moving round and round him. And filling his home. And filling Congress. Mm-hmm. And absolutely protecting him so that he can think for himself amongst so many influences. And then have that light. Let's bring in the pink fire. Have this pink fire come in through the top of your heads, out through your chest. And let's send that pink light of harmony into Mr. Obama's home and family. And into Congress and Senate, the whole government, the Pentagon, and his foreign workers, whether you're soldiers or diplomats or whatever, send them to Afghanistan, to Iraq, send that pink light to Iraq, and bathe Iraq and Afghanistan, and all the other places on the planet there that are where people are suffering en masse. Yeah, and let's finally just bump it all over the planet so that eventually the planet is covered with the pink light. And we know that all of us can feel the compassion of harmony and the drive for harmony and that we can feel the essential protection of one another. And then let that pink light flow round and round the world and move back into your chest. And fill your body with harmony. And we'll come back in here and now let's jump into, let's close off the Galactic Healing Center and then jump into the Star Tetrahedron. And spin and spin and spin and spin again, spin and spin. We spin to change the frequencies to really feel that we're separating ourselves from everybody else's frequency. And now step back into the room. How does that feel? And I hope you're going to call in and tell me all about how you feel today or recently. I don't even have the number here. I'm sorry. But I want you to call in and ask a question. What I wanted to talk about tonight, the question would be about your life. What I wanted to talk about tonight is how much change is going on, for example, with the economic hoo-ha that's been going on for a long time, and we keep hearing a number of people are losing their jobs. There's a lot of people getting jobs, too, so that's something to bear in mind. And there's a lot of people who feel that security has been challenged, and they don't really know where it's all going. There's a lot about the vaccine. It's so interesting that a lot of people refused the swine flu vaccine. Isn't that great? More than the majority of the population refused to take on the swine flu vaccine. And a lot of people said that, like David Icke, for example, and other mystics and healers and leaders and that sort of thing, said that one of the challenges for human consciousness over this period of time is how we're going to handle that approach for us to take the vaccination, and that it's one of those things that we have to grow beyond accepting and tolerating. It sounds like people have done that. People are doing a lot of things to stand up for their own integrity and their own authority. I'll give you the number. The number here, if you'd like to call in, is 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. Thank you, Bob. Bob always helps me out when I'm kind of lost some of the detail. I'm not always a detail person, are you? So anyway, when we talk about the swine flu vaccine, it's pretty interesting because that means that a lot of us stood up and dealt with our fear. You know, everybody gets a little afraid at first, and started to really get centered and become self, what would we say, self-claiming and self-styling, and learned that we have that power of healing ourselves, that we don't have to actually buy into all the hoo-ha that's radiating itself over the media and the fear-based stuff that comes in. Because I was listening to an old Galexis. It was actually not very old. The last time Galexis was on, what they were saying was, if you want to succeed over the next little while of moving out of that collective fear-based hoo-ha and move into, say, the 2012 realm or the new realms in a healing fashion, in a self-centering fashion, in a creating reality fashion, they said the first thing we have to be doing is grappling with and releasing our fear, or that innate shame, or that lack of self-worth, because those are the, all of those are the underpinning feelings that have kept us, in many ways, kind of held down or enslaved, or certainly manageable by somebody who's better at power than a lot of us have been. So when you're talking about being a warrior or a warrioress, those are things that we want to look at. Take a look at ourselves and see that we can move past various situations by realizing that we're in charge. If we are creating our reality, where is it we're stopping ourselves? So as soon as we suck in all that fear-based hoo-ha that comes at us and really believe it, then we're defined by it, aren't we? But I know a lot of you out there aren't doing that anymore, so we really are on our, we're on the evolutionary slope here. I love that. Bob and I went down to California and stayed with Ginger and did some interviewing of Galexis. So we will be running, for Paradigm Shifters, we will be running another Galexis show pretty soon. Let's see, warriors, let's see. That one of the other things is, like, when we do the sacred geometrics, for a lot of you have been telling me how it works, is that if you're having an encounter with someone and you want to do a very conscious kind of battle instead of creating a reactive situation, we've been doing this where we wrap the other person that you're annoyed with. You see them in the sacred geometric, which is the double tetrahedron. That's the pyramid pointing up and the pyramid pointing down. See them in that pyramid, color it gold, and spin and spin and spin the pyramid. And see what happens. What happens inside of your own body? Do you feel safer? Do you feel separated from them? Well, it is a part of creating our reality, and it is the warriorship that sometimes a person is really cranky with you. You can sort of giggle when you realize that you've put them in a golden double tetrahedron, and you're spinning them like mad, so you're not afraid of them anymore. It's hilarious, isn't it? The other thing is our meditations, which is finding out. I've had a number of clients today, which is not saying anything too exciting, except that one of the things that's very interesting is when you're sitting, and I'm reflecting on these clients as I tell you, when you're sitting inside your body and you're learning to be conscious of it, and we say you got to watch where your fears are, for example, we see in each person, all you have to do is bring up something like, I'm just trying to remember a situation. One guy said, wow, you have an issue with your mother. He said, no, I don't. I said, it was hugely grief. He said, I had no grief. Anyway, turns out, and like he's been kind of stymied. He's been confused about where to go next. He keeps getting strange assortments of feelings. He doesn't know what's going on. So we go back in time and we see that he's got a tremendous fear and a tremendous loss around his mother at 2 years old, like she deserted him. He says, no, she never did that. Well, it turns out his half-brother died when he was 2 years old. And then in the family, the hoo-ha that went on, the mother, of course, pulled away, panicked, went into her own grief, right? So what does the child do? The child embodies that huge loss. Mummy's gone. She doesn't. The child might feel like, oh, great. Oh, just hold on a sec. I'll finish this one story. And so he feels like she doesn't love me anymore. She doesn't care about me anymore. She stepped back from me. But the reality is she's just gone about her own thing. But in there was grief, a really deep grief in the child because it matched something in another life. And there's also this real, a big fear about how is he going to cope. And another client that I had a little bit later had a similar pattern, but it happened when she was about 6. And what happened was her mom and dad started to fight a lot. And what she took on was a tremendous sense of responsibility. And it's so the little child in her was afraid of not being responsible enough, because if she isn't, the whole thing will fall apart. So it's very interesting. We say, oh, I don't have any fears. But if you look at this stuff, you see how the fear came from someplace below memory, and it's still pumping out there and limiting how either of these people could move forward in their lives. But it doesn't take too much. What it is, you go in and you find it, and you feel it, and if you don't remember the story, you can still find it in your body by calling it up. But we might be working on you because you're going to call up here probably fairly soon. So welcome, you're on the air, and I'm glad to talk to you.
Yeah, hi, Veronica. My phone just died, so that was perfect timing. I had to do a phone switch.
But you do have a phone, so that worked out, right?
Yeah, the other one's still dying, but I'm here. It's Noella from Canada, and thank you for that meditation. It always really helps.
I love those, don't you?
Yes, I do. I love feeling the connection with everyone. That's
great.
Good.
Me too. Thank you, Noella. So how is
really
your life going? Is it cold over there?
Yeah, it's starting to get... We had a little bit of sprinkle of snow, but it didn't last. But it's funny weather. It really is.
You're over in... Are you in Quebec?
I'm just actually in Ottawa, which is just like 2 hours away from Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm west of Montreal, west of Quebec, Ontario. Mm-hmm.
We're west of Ontario, too.
Okay, it's about 5 hours north of Toronto and 2 hours west of Montreal.
Oh, wow, so you're way over there in Canada.
Yeah, we're the capital. Nobody knows it. They say Ottawa, and that's a capital city. Nobody knows that. It's funny. But
that's
yeah,
Canada. We Canadians keep it all under wraps, eh?
Yeah, we're still in igloos, you know, and dog sleds and all. And we eat snow cones. It's funny. But it's fun. I love culture changes. No, I've gone through a lot of changes with the energies, and I just thought I'd put in my 2 cents worth. I'm wide open.
I
like it. It's just so strange, Veronica. I just, like, everything in my life is gone, right? Like house, husband. My daughter's gone off to school. They guaranteed half my pension check. And it's like I got to a point again of surrender, and I just said, I didn't do a good job. I'm yours. Just take me.
Aww.
And after that, synchronicities, everything just opened up. It was just like a flood. And
that's
just been going. And, yeah, the connection is feeling better. I feel more positive energies coming in, really positive, like worldwide positive, you know. But I'm like you. I sort of got a calling now. I'm non-political at all. But I've been putting myself out there as an activist, and I just can't seem to get enough of it. With the
wow, what kind of activism? What are you doing?
Well, I'm sort of putting myself as a citizen. There was, let's say, a House of Commons meeting where they were trying to pass a Health and Protection Act out, and they're still trying to pass it. And luckily, we had a constitutional lawyer come in and read all the legalese, which most common folk can't figure out, and explained it to us, and he put a YouTube out and put it in clear English that we're getting screwed. Wake up, people.
One it's a part of the mortgage thing, huh?
Oh, no. This is, believe it or not, vitamins, herbs, and supplements will become illegal if this passes through. The only way you can get it is through a prescription, through a doctor who feels he knows what you need better than you do. And also you'll be paying twice as much. And anybody who's into selling these supplements and that would be fined and put to jail if caught.
Do you think it'll actually go through? I don't think it's going to go through, Noella.
I don't think so either. We've already got a reprieve till after Christmas. And there was only three of us sitting there. And they were all looking at us, and I just kept putting out that nice love vibe. So I don't know, but it felt good to do something rather than sit at home going, oh, the world's going to hell. Very empowering. Very,
and
so
it's actually,
to share that with you.
That's a pretty interesting subject, too, the whole vitamin thing. I used to work in health foods in about 1977, somewhere in there. And in those days in Canada, they used to come in and they would put big pieces of tape across the vitamin shelves and say they're now going to be illegal.
Wow.
And people would go crazy and they would write the political people, and then it would pass again. It would go through. That's not legal, you know.
And it's funny, Veronica, I've been hitting the streets too and asking people, just anybody, have you heard about this bill and what's it about? And most of them, when they hear about the vitamins, they all get angry. And they all, you know, what? And I said, read up on it. Like, I don't want to be the one responsible. You know, I just want you to say to yourself, at least I, you know, it's like the swine flu. Okay, what got me started was my mother went out and got one. And she had just gotten a regular flu shot the week before. And she's 82 years old. Mm-hmm. And after that, and of course I cried, and I tried to talk her out of it, but it's her choice, it's her free will, but oh my God, you know, this is so close to home, and I just can't
see how. So, Noella, how was she after? Did she get sick?
Well, so far, I haven't heard from her since, so I better call her and find out, but I'm a little worried, because when you get two whammies in a week, you know, and that age group,
mm-hmm.
But part of me thinks she doesn't really want to be here anyways. It's just what the feeling I'm getting. So it was her choice, and I have to respect it, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to keep an eye on her with the vitamin D3 before they illegalize that and get a bunch off the shelf.
Well, I think that we just have to keep sending out light that's ridiculous. We know what that battle is. That's
I think they've gone too far. And now people are, it's like, you know, they got so greedy that people are starting to say, whoa, something wrong here.
We're not putting up with this.
What's that?
I said, we're not putting up with this.
No, we're not. And there was another issue with this bill about home invasion. They're trying to take warrants to go into private property or commercial businesses without a warrant. And that's the other one that they're trying to sneak by as a health bill. So that's
the health bill?
Yeah, it's called Food and Safety. they stick, like, they've got this vitamin problem, and then the lawyer said, oh, and here's another thing I don't like. And he says, do you realize you could be sitting at home having a bubble bath, and these guys could just walk in and say, your house is ours? It's confiscation of property, bank, and anything, basically, any assets you have. And this, without any representation or common law to stop it. This is what they're trying to pass. So we're stopping that one, too. That's not going to
go. I hope so, because it doesn't look like it's going to go through, but that is really insane, isn't it? I mean, it's really...
Yeah, they're trying to pull this in.
I guess I better do some research and look all that up.
Well, I've got more time than you, Veronica. I'm sitting here with nothing to lose, so I'm going for it. So don't worry. We'll do it for you. We'll keep you in touch.
But we need to stay really strong, and we also need to stay in community. A lot of us just be conscious of what we're putting up with. Or not putting up with, is what we're creating in our world.
That's correct. And go to the right places. Like TV, I haven't watched for 3 years, and it's much better not to.
Yeah.
It's just,
your brain
doesn't get
as
propaganda.
Added. Well, thanks, Noella. Do you have any questions?
Well, thanks for putting up with my spiel. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you for all your good work, and keep going.
Oh, well, it's a start. Thanks a lot, Veronica. Bye-bye.
All right. Bless your heart. Good night. Well, now that's a bunch of information that I'm going to have to look up, because I really don't know enough about it. When I look at it, I feel like there's an awful lot of people who are wise and will radiate out there. It's so interesting, isn't it, that the great warriorship is, I mean, she was talking about just sitting there, just being present and paying attention. And I also think there's a lot of warriorship in, this is not the kind of stuff I normally talk about, but anyway, there's a lot of warriorship in simply numbers. So I'm sure there are places on the web and in gathering places where just the very numbers of people that are waking up and paying attention will make a huge difference. Woo! So a lot of us realize that in being combative doesn't usually work very well. And actually, we're better to radiate as high as we can to do some kind of meditational thing. I talked about the two clients that I had today that were carrying probably their whole lives, well, obviously their whole lives, really deep fear, frustration, and loss from childhood. That's the kind of stuff that keeps us from being as empowered as we could be. Or another way to put it is that the constant learning of where we're hiding fears in our own body-mind, because our body-mind is like a library, isn't it? It's got all these reactions in it. The more of those you can clear, the higher frequency your beingness is. And the higher frequency we are, the less trapped we are by lower frequency stuff. So you are on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Veronica. It's Jonquil.
Hi, Jonquil. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm wonderful tonight. It's cold out, though. Jonquil's from Oregon. I'm from Washington. It's cold as can be, is it not?
It's cold down here, too. It's going to freeze again tonight. It froze last night. And as I was putting my messages in my Advent calendar, blessings every day, I see from 2 years ago, this very same day, I was asking the floodwaters to recede. So cold is nothing. Cold doesn't faze me.
The water is a lot more still when it's cold, isn't it?
Yeah, floodwaters were a lot more menacing. So
yes, for sure. Wow.
Well, Veronica, I'm calling about, it's a completely different subject than you were just speaking to, but
this is fine.
I don't know
if
that matters. But my question is centering around the thought of love and... that if there's only love and fear, if those are the two things we have, we can either be living in fear or we can be having love. And can you speak to the difference between divine love, knowing that you are loved by your guides and angels and just the concept.
All that is. Mother, Father, God, right?
Yes, and that, are we misplacing that, looking for that love in people? What is it like to, is there such a thing really as a soulmate? And what would that be like if you really were to have that experience in this lifetime? And are we misplacing the love of divine do we think that a person should embody that, or that people should embody this something that they can't? Or am I just all mixed up here? It just came to me yesterday. I was reading Hafiz, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading the poetry, this book, you know, the little book, The Subject Tonight is Love, with these 60 wild and sweet poems by Hafiz, talking about the friend and learning to love God, learning to love you, what you know to be the divine. And it came to me that we're mixed up, basically.
Well, you know, if this is actually the questions you ask could fill an encyclopedia of poetry, probably, hey? Or philosophy.
It's not just one question. I'm sorry about that.
But it's very interesting because, you know, so you've heard me say this years ago, I want to know what love is. That's my big,
yes.
That runs through my head a lot.
I want you to show me.
That's right.
Yeah.
My grandson said last time I said that, he said, Grammy, I don't know how. Anyway, what I want to say to what you're saying is that, to me, for example, divinity. Divinity is love. To me, it's that generating, expanding feeling, which is so unconditional. And so often, when we want to bring love into our life, it is a possessive kind of thing or an attached thing, isn't it? And so my guides will say that it's always an expanding force. And to love someone, for example, and something, is to find the divinity in yourself and in that other being and share at that level. But we don't normally do that. As soon as we apply the mind, and I want to say apply a defense, or protection, then the whole thing moves to a much less expanded reality, doesn't it?
Or is it fear that we allow into that equation?
Well, I think fear, to me, defense is a part of fear.
Yeah.
Who built defense?
But you see what I'm saying? It's like I'm not being very complex. It just seems to me when it gets through our brain and our reactive self, then we kind of describe our love. Oh, I get this transcendent feeling every now and then for someone. But to me, the divinity love is where we can really surrender into a stunning love, which I don't always find possible. Some people are born with it, a much higher frequency of love. And others are born with a lot of karma and they kind of seek it and develop it. But I think it's not, I just think our human love would be so much greater were we able to be in our divine love at the same time.
Well, is it that we don't get that they're different, or it by not understanding one or seeking or developing one, we lose the ability to develop the other?
I think that's exactly it, Jonquil. That people don't. How many people do you know that really ask that question?
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, it was like a light bulb going on for me too. Just all of a sudden, it's like, Jonquil, what you really want is to know divine love, and it's just inappropriate to try to apply that to a person. You know, you can't, it just is, it's inappropriate. It's not, people don't do that for one another.
I don't know if I would say it's inappropriate. I feel this, that if we can find it, and we can find it in others and trees and birds, and you see what I mean? Is we can use that as, I was going to say the vein, but actually it's more like the atmosphere in all of these things, but often when we're looking for love in someone, we're confining it and defining it, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And defending it and attaching to it and making it security. That's a lot different than
Yeah, it's applying all these limitations as opposed to freeing oneself with the knowledge that you care, you know, that one has love. I mean,
when people have that the sense of divine love, you can feel it in a room. You can feel it amongst certain people, whether they're as single as can be or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can really feel that. That, to me, is a treasurable thing. But very few people that I know of actually discuss, well, it's not true, a lot of metaphysics they do, but very few people that I know in the social realm make that distinction or comment on that. You know, so I love that you popped open to it. And certainly, when did he write his poetry? Was it about the time of Rumi 14, or earlier?
14.
Okay, 14th century. And it's Hafiz?
H-A-F-I-Z, also like Rumi. They were within 100 years of one another.
Yeah.
And,
so a lot
you know,
of those ancient beings that we study these days, that's often the crux of what it is they talk about is love, isn't it?
And divine love, just finding, mm-hmm. knowing, enjoying, I guess, you know, learning to have it. And I guess it was just, the question started coming to me because, while I personally have never found a soulmate or, it came to me that, you know, some people talk about life like that, like I'm hoping to find my soulmate. And
you know what, John Cole?
And I got to thinking, well, what is that? You know, what is that? What would that be like?
To me, okay, I'll tell you what I've learned, and I always say this is what I believe, and gosh knows our beliefs don't always last long these days. But in any case, I believe that we are part of soul groupings, and that soulmates are very often someone, it could be someone who's a part of your, that you share parts of the same soul, or else you've been in lifetimes together in a very connected fashion so that you have so much knowing, so much deep knowing. And
mm-hmm.
I know this, that twin souls and soulmates make very difficult partners sometimes. People just think,
would it
I'll
mean,
find
so,
my soul.
Okay, that was my next question is, it doesn't necessarily mean that you get them.
No.
I mean, even if you meet them or you I mean, can it be just completely irrational that you realize someone is that way for you or with you, and then you can't, I mean, that's all you know. You just know that
well,
they are.
Well, it's interesting.
But
you
don't
know
necessarily live with them or, you know, relate with them or, I don't know.
Well, I don't think, first of all, I think you have many possible soulmates, okay? There's not just
mm-hmm.
one. And the other thing is I think you can really sense the deep, deep connection. To me, there's a certain color of energy that comes up when I meet somebody like that. And because I've had egg on my face a few times, I try to step away from people that I have that deep soul connection with. Because
mm-hmm.
if you're out of sync in this lifetime, but you're in sync in terms of soul, you can have some really intense difficulties, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they are hard, like if you break up with a soulmate, it's very hard to get over them, even if you choose to leave, because that attachment is so deep and so long. And those people
mm-hmm.
who get together and they are in sync, it's like a fusion, and they can really rise to very high, high levels together. But I think it's a little bit of a Russian roulette, a cellular roulette, of finding
mm-hmm.
somebody.
A cellular roulette, that's good.
To find somebody who's in sync and at the same level of evolution as you, as a soul
mm-hmm.
and as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's an illusion that we got caught up in metaphysics some years back. And a lot
yes.
of people, even
okay.
twin souls, have practically killed each other. I'm
okay.
going to have to let you go because we're
right.
drawing to a close. But
I'm
those
sorry,
questions
so
are really powerful. Will you call in and ask them again?
Mm-hmm. I will.
All right. Well, hey, much love to you, much divine
love.
Much love
to you, too, on this frosty December night.
Frosty.
Bye-bye.
Night, Jonkel. So that was a really interesting call. This is Veronica Entwistle saying to be a warrior, to be a warrioress, you want to learn to be still. You want to learn to be in truth with yourself. My guides always say like 98% of the job, 95% of the job is clearing old reactions, reactions. As Jonkel said, the difference is love and fear, love versus fear. Our reactions tend to be around adjusting and adapting to fear, don't they? So learning how to clear that, being in your meditation, doing some breathing, dropping back into center, being in the now, creating intentionally and clear, clear, and more clear. And then our manifestations are going to be much clearer as well. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, those are our non-activism tips for tonight. My next paradigm shifter is going to be Penny Pierce, who wrote a book called Frequency. Isn't that exciting? We're going to learn all about frequencies next Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Stay tuned to Jackie Salvetti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. We're going to talk with the team tonight. Well, Jackie's going to tell some stories about meeting aliens and ETs on this planet and a whole bunch of news about the alien, not arrival because they've been here, but how the connections in different dimensions are manifesting in this life. So it's going to be very, very interesting. So that's at 8 o'clock tonight. Tune in if you can. And this is Veronica Entwistle saying, call me if you need a session or if you'd like a session. Email me, I should say, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Let's all take in some of the great new moon, full moon energy, and send it out through the heart and be connected on the Radiance by Design community. And good night. Thank you for listening. Much love.